That is the message that we carry, and that's the message that we give to have carried around the world as far as we can possibly have it to go. And God has used this week greatly in my life. I know He has in others. And I'm looking forward to a great conclusion today here in our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. Faith Promise Day. I trust that you've been considering and praying, meditating over what God is going to have you do in 2016. We're going to begin with some scripture this morning, Acts chapter 20. You can look in your bulletin or you can turn in your Bible. Five verses out of Acts chapter 20 that gives us sort of another side of Paul's heart. Paul, probably one of the most notable, maybe the original in a sense as we see it, missionary. He says in Acts 20 verse 24, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." What a great cost, an unthinkable, invaluable, precious cost that bought us. And it's not just us. It's not Volusia County. It's not just America. It's not our hemisphere. It's not our continent. It's the world. He gave himself for all mankind, propitiation for all men's sins. And we believe that firmly. It's what the Bible says. And so it's our job to take that into all the world. I'm going to ask Brother Jack Abbott if he'll come open us in prayer this morning. It's 42 years with New Tribes Missions. I think I understood him right. Seven of those in Philippines on the field. Y'all forgive me this morning. But Brother Jack's been a faithful servant of the Lord. He and Miss Esther and I I admire them greatly, and I appreciate their friendship, their service here as he teaches the men's Sunday school class. And I thought it'd be appropriate as one who has served and continues to serve to open us in prayer this morning. Thank you, sir.
Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we do acknowledge, Lord, that we only come because of the Lord Jesus. We don't have anything in ourselves, Lord, that we can bring to you, but we thank you that the Lord Jesus is in your presence, and Lord, because of that, we can come freely to you. We praise you for what you've done in our lives, what you've done, Lord, in this church. We thank you for it and for the testimony that it has. We pray, God, that you will work in each of our lives in the way that you want during this time. We thank you for this time that's set aside to particularly focus on the work that you've given us as a church to do, to take your word into all the world. Lord, we pray that you will just use this time this morning, Lord, to speak to our hearts, and in that, Lord, that your name might be honored. We thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. Pray that you'll bless this meeting this morning and work in our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Rejoice Ensemble is coming to sing now. I want you to listen to every part of the service, whether it's the choir, testimonies, whatever it is. God wants to speak to our hearts because God's heart is the heart of missions. So this is a very special service here this morning. So listen and let the Lord bless your heart.
Savior died for me.
Amen. Well, it all starts with us being willing, and that's what this song is all about. 668. Let's sing it. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. 668. Let's stand together and sing it. It may not be on the mountain bright or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. The Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to pass that I do not know, seated. All through the Bible, we see God moving upon hearts of some to leave the crowd and the multitude to go reach the world. And that's what this song's all about. My house is full, but my fields are empty. Listen as Becky Reynolds plays.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mrs. Reynolds. Thank you. I appreciate that. I believe she's going to be doing, is it April 22nd? I think Becky's going to be doing a concert here at the church. And we'll move the big piano right out here in the middle of the platform and have about an hour of her music. And if you'd like to be here for that, well, you're certainly welcome to come. Good to have folks visiting with us today. It's even good to have folks who have come to Florida for vacation and cannot get home to be here with us today. And good to have the Mannings that are here with us today, Pastor Manning, his wife and daughter. Good to have them here with us today and people all over the auditorium that have come in to visit with us on this very special Sunday here at our church. It's very special because it's freezing outside. Literally freezing outside in Florida on this morning. I got in the car this morning and looked at that little thing, and I thought something's wrong with this thing. It said 29 degrees, and I don't like that at all. I just don't like that at all. Whenever I stepped outside, I went back in the house and got another coat. Yeah. And I don't wear that overcoat very much down here in Florida, but I wore it this morning. But visitors, if you're here, I want you to, and if you're here, you're here, okay? I understand that. This little flap that turns in on your bulletin, it says, welcome visitor. We would like you to fill out that little card right there, that little slip, tear that off, turn it back in the offering plate in a little while, or bring it to a little reception we have for you. We'd like to meet you. I'd like to meet you. I'd like to greet you, shake your hand, get to know you a little bit. Others of the staff will be in the reception area just through the doors at the back and to the right. We'd love to have you come by and say hey to us and just spend a couple of minutes and have a cracker and cheese or a bite of watermelon or cantaloupe. Now, this is visitors now, unless you have a visitor with you. And we also have a little gift for you. We'd love to have you come by. But if you're not able to do that, you don't say, I don't think I can do that. Well, just tear that off and drop it in the offering plate. If you'd like to bring it with you to the reception, that would be great. I hope you'll do that. Always good to have visitors with us. And you are our guest. I have a note here from Bob and Bev Dickinson. It says, Pastor Reynolds and VCBC, thank you so much for the beautiful dish garden that brightened the hospital room and our spirits. We appreciate that we can have a reminder of the church's concern. Thank you also for honoring Bob's request that we not let in honor know everybody. He was kind of a personal kind of guy and did not want a lot of people coming by. But we are glad that he's doing better. Thanks for all the visits that did, folks that came by. You and the others know how to do that. And so we're thankful for that. And hopefully, Bev, Bob will be back in the next week or so, right? Okay, wonderful. And that's good. And I don't think Anita Boyd is here today. I hope she's not here, because she just got out of the hospital yesterday, but she came home from the cancer surgery in Tampa at the Moffitt Center and is doing really, really well. On a cold morning in Florida, isn't it wonderful to have a hot building? Boy, it is, isn't it? We warmed it up so it'd be warm, and boy, whenever you got in here, you really warmed it up. And so it's very nice. Well, probably have to get back to Florida again, turn the air on, but it'll be okay, and then everybody will be cold. And there's some of you saying, finally, I got a day like I like it with the temperature in here, but I see a lot of you taking your coats off, and now that I did this, I see a lot of you doing this, and so it's all right. Just make yourself at home. Back in the country in the summertime, we had the funeral home fans. Anybody remember those? Anybody remember? Yeah, at that funeral homes, it was not really kosher for them to advertise. And so what they'd do is they'd give churches fans where everybody could fan with them, and they'd have the name of the funeral home on the back of the fan. In your bulletin also, it should have been in your bulletin, it may not have been. Is there anyone who did not get a faith promise card? Whether you do anything with it or not, except write notes on the back of it. I'd like you to have one. I'd like you to have. We need some right down here, gentlemen. If you would, we need some right down here, anywhere else, right here on the front row. Oh, don't miss this guy on the front row. This is we need all of his money we can get. I was really thinking this week about this congregation of people. Of course, there's a lot of people on a cold morning like this that are not here. But I was thinking, if everybody in this church, anyone else, everyone else got them. If everyone in this church did $1 a day, if everyone, adult and teenager, new teenagers can participate in this. Yeah. If every person in this church did $1 a day for missions to get the gospel around the world, we would have way beyond what we're giving right now to our 100-plus missionaries. And if we add the 5 who are with us this week, we'd have more than enough. If everybody did $1 a day. Now, some of us do a lot more than that. Some of us do a lot more than $1 a day. And if everybody did at least $1 a day, and those of us who want to do more than that would do that, it'd be a fantastic thing. I'm thankful that Becky and I have come to the place in our life that our missions giving is greater than our tithing. It's larger than our tithe. Our mission giving is larger than our tithing. I'm glad it's come to that. Now, on the front of the bulletin, I've written a word about what faith promise is. It's just a promise that God enabling me, this is what I will do this year for the cause of missions. Now, that's the work of getting out the gospel. We get out the gospel in a lot of places and a lot of ways. I guess probably one of the greatest mission outreaches we do is a local missions outreach in Journey Through Christmas. Whenever we in this church reach 4,000 or 5,000 people and have hundreds of people, literally hundreds of people, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are people here this morning who've gotten saved through Journey Through Christmas. Many of you here this morning, first encounter you ever had with this church was Journey Through Christmas. Are there any like that here today? I'm sure there must be. The first encounter you ever had with this church was Journey Through Christmas. Raise your hand. All over the building, yeah. That's the way you came here. It's the first time you ever were in this building was through Journey Through Christmas. But here we have with us this week, we have a man you're going to hear preach this morning who is with what the name of the organization is called First Bible. They're translating the Bible into languages of people that do not have the gospel. They do not have the Word of God in a language, in their language. And they're putting the Bible into their language so that they can have a Bible in their language. We take that for granted. We have a young lady who's over in Children's Church. Today. She's going to Honduras. She's going to work with the deaf particularly, but she's an RN, and she'll be working with the people there. Wonderful musician, speaks Spanish, sign language, has her RN, gifted, trained, education, all of it in line, everything together. Going to waste her life, go to Honduras. I think not. Wish you could have heard the testimonies last night. We have another lady over there in Children's Church this morning. She's not a young lady. She had a very good career as a CPA, working with major CPA firms in this country. But God called her to Africa. And she's going to Africa. She resigned from her work as a CPA and gave up that career to follow the Lord's will in her life. Got saved as a single mom. The Lord worked in her life. She hired and you'll hear some of this tonight, but some of you won't be here tonight. She hired a woman to take care of her little ones while she went back to school. And she went back to school, got her degree in accounting, and entered the field as an accountant, and raised her kids, got them raised. They're raised. She's a grandmother. She's a grandmother. Now what's she going to do? She said, "I'm at a point in my life where I can, so God has called me, and I'm going. I'm going to Liberia, Africa." And Julie Alexander, you'll see her table back there. And I hope you will stop by and pick up prayer cards from these missionaries. You're going to meet Brent Maritelli here in just a little while. You've met, if you were in Sunday school, in this class, you met Rick Prine. I don't see him right now, but he's here somewhere. Over here, all right. He and his dear wife, Amy, and their four little ones, heading out to where it's 2 feet of snow on the ground right now. And we're in Florida complaining about it being 30 degrees. But anyway, going there to start a new church, and we'll get that thing up and going. He will not be a long-term missionary. We'll drop him before long, because he'll get that church up, get it going. It'll be self-supporting and everything like that. And that'll be a good, wonderful thing, and we're thankful for it. What a good day. Now, here's what you do. Whatever God has spoken to your heart about, you say, "Well, God hadn't really spoken to my heart about amount that I should give." Ask him. And if he doesn't tell you, just do more than you think he might tell you. Okay? There's no place on this for a name. On this little, you're going to have to fold this. It's not perforated. You're going to have to fold this. You keep the large part. That reminds you. That's just a reminder. Put it somewhere, your reminder about your faith promise. On this part of the card, you put in there, "As the Lord enables me," my weekly commitment for Faith Promise Missions giving at Volusia County Baptist Church. And it has the amounts there. Now, the amount that we give is more than the amount that's on here. So we write that on in there at the top. We write that in at the top. And so I hope you will. I hope you'll do something, something good, and see what God will do. See what God will do. I believe God will bless you for it. Amen. Now, this is not the offering time, and we're going to have a time to collect these after a while. And don't put them in the offering. Would you please not do that? Let's keep these separate. Don't put them in the offering plate. We'll get them at the close of the service. Maybe after Brother Brent preaches, maybe you say, "I'm going to mark that out and raise it just a little bit." We don't want anybody marking it out after you preach and lowering it a little bit, okay? All right. Okay. Well, I don't know where we are now or what we're doing, but visitors, it's good to have you. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you've come. And I hope you will just enjoy the service. This is the one Sunday of the year we really talk a lot about money, and this is about as much about money as you've ever heard me talk about in this church. And we come to the time of the offering, we encourage you to give, but on this day, in the matter of world evangelism and getting the gospel out and meeting the needs of people in hearing the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and how they can trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Had a lady tell me one time, she said, "Well, preacher, you know, I just don't care much about them people in other countries." And it's not really about whether or not you care about them people in other countries. It's not really whether or not you care about them. But the fact is, if you care about Jesus, he cares about them. And he died for them. And we ought to care because he cares. So I hope you'll do it. All right. We probably have some other announcements, but that's my announcement for Faith Promise, and I want you to keep that in mind. As Aaron, you have the announcements for us.
try to make this brief. We do have several things coming up. February 7th is bowling night, super bowling night, $5 for your shoes and the bowling. That's an incredible deal. You won't beat it, and they're open till 10 o'clock. We've got the bowling alley entirely to ourselves after church on Sunday night. That's 2 weeks from tonight. Head over there. You'll enjoy a time together with your church family. The Claussens will be here in concert January the 31st. That'll be a very unique experience. You'll want to see that. You'll want to enjoy that as well. Youth, we were going to have an activity tonight after the church. We're going to move that, postpone it until next Sunday night. Next Sunday night after church, that's been postponed, so plan accordingly. Search the Scriptures. We're winding up Hebrews 11. Many of you took that study at the beginning of the month. I don't know if you've been reading, attempting the questions, trying to jot down your notes. We want to hear from you. We want to interact on this thing and understand what God's teaching you and maybe share a little bit of what God has taught us as well. And we'd love to have that fellowship time with you. We're going to do two meetings this month. We're going to do one Friday morning at 10 a.m. here at the church. Friday morning at 10 a.m. here at the church. There's no meal that's going to be provided with that one. So, you know, eat breakfast, and whenever you're done, head off and have some lunch after we conclude. I'm sure we'll have some refreshments there just to tide you over a little bit, but no meal. Well, that's Friday morning at 10 a.m. Some of you don't do as well in the evening times, and you'd rather come during the daytime. So we've got that available for you, Friday at 10. And our normal Sunday night meeting going to move to next Monday night. Okay, so Monday night, a week from tomorrow night, we'll have our normal meeting, and then Friday morning at 10 a.m. You got two opportunities to come. You can come to one, or you can come to both of them. I'm coming to both of them. See you.
All right, page 674. Let's stand and sing, "Who is on the Lord's Side?" 674.
You may be seated. Ushers, come forward if you will. While they're coming, we're pretty much back on a regular schedule this week. Next Sunday night is the Lord's Supper on the 31st, the fifth Sunday night. Next Sunday night's the Lord's Supper. And this week, on Thursday night, we're back in the book of Obadiah, that little prophet of the Old Testament, not real familiar to us and not one that we know a lot about even as we study through it. But what a message of the faithfulness of God in every way. And so we'll be back there on Thursday night. CMA will be back meeting, and Children's Music Academy will be meeting again this Thursday night and right in place. And so we'll do that. I hope you're prepared to give this morning. Don't put this in at this time, okay? Hold this to the end of the service, if you will. And then we'll take those up and take a minute to see exactly where we stand, so that whenever we come back together tonight, we'll know a little bit about what we can do in relationship to the missionaries who are here with us this week, all right? In order to add these missionaries, in other words, we support, if we take on these five missionaries that are here, I didn't mention the Haleys who had to leave yesterday, but they will be going to Botswana. in Africa, right near, just north of South Africa, Botswana. They're on their way there. We've known them for a long time. We used to support them in Romania. Good folks, and we'll, I'm confident we'll do a great job. But we support the level of $125 per month per missionary, and we're, it goes back and forth with, of course, whenever you have this many missionaries, there are changes that take place, but we have over 100 missionaries. So the support for these five missionaries would be $625. So some of us will add a little bit to what we've been giving. Maybe some new people will participate this year in Faith Promise, but we'll want to add that up at the close of the service when we take these up at the close of the service. Now, are you going to put these in the offering plate? Oh, very good. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Father, thank you for this day. Whenever we talk about your work of getting the gospel around the world. Now, Lord, that's what we're commissioned to do, and we talked about that last Sunday. That's our job. That's our assigned task. Now, Lord, I trust that all the things we do here contribute toward that effort here at home of getting the gospel out in our community, Lord. Even having this church here, the building, as a testimony in the community. And Father, I pray that all we do in the activities of ministering to people in all different ways, all is with the idea of getting the gospel out. But Lord, this particular emphasis is on missions, on the winning of souls, and getting the gospel around the world. Now, Lord, I pray as we give today, that we'll give with that in mind, and as we make our faith promise a little later, Lord, I pray we'll make that promise to you, and that it will be sufficient to do more than we've ever done for your glory and for the cause of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. that's it, isn't it? Let's stand together. Let's stand together, if you will. There's a song in your bulletin, but I'm going to change it, you guys, okay? I'm going to change it back to what we did last Sunday. People need the Lord, okay? Let's sing it again today. People need the Lord. We preach Christ. That's why we preach Christ, because people need the Lord. And so let's sing it, if you will, and then we'll fellowship a little bit together.
People need the Lord. People need the Lord. I'm the end of broken dreams. He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that we must give our lives for Him, for Him, alone?
Greet those around you as the choir comes down. Meet someone you don't know. Introduce yourself. Get their name. So much, you may be seated. Brother Brent, if you will, come to the platform and be ready to preach for us. Brother Maruelli is with a group called First Bible. They have a table at the back. I hope you'll stop by. Learn a little bit about the ministry. If you have not been here this week, if you've been here, you may be seated, Jim. Thank you. And if you've been here this week, you've become familiar with First Bible and what they're doing. And they're working on a translation of a Bible into a unique language in the southern part of India. Going to take about $80,000 to do that language. And we're the second church that has given toward that. And this week, in the meetings this week, we gave a $5,000 offering toward that. In the meeting this week, and we thank the Lord to be able to participate in that. Children of love, we are. We've been born into the family of God because of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ is also light, so we're the children of love and children of light. We have the responsibility of showing that love and carrying that light. And I hope you'll listen carefully as the young people sing. And then as Brother Maruelli comes and preaches for us this morning.
Children of love, children of light, shining your truth through the darkest night. Lord, let us live so that all may see the light of your glorious love.
Children of light, shining your truth. Amen. That is wonderful. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15 in your Bibles, if you will. Romans chapter 15. I want to certainly thank Pastor Reynolds and Mrs. Reynolds for the privilege that has been mine and ours to be here this week. When you do what we do, travel like we travel, and are in different churches every week of our life somewhere. Occasionally, along the path, the Lord allows us to be in a place that is above and beyond many in regards to their perception of missions. And you certainly are one of those places. To see your heart, to hear your heart, and to experience your desire for worldwide missions is very refreshing to us. And we thank you so much for that. On behalf of those people in Mongolia who in April of this year will receive their Bible for the very first time in their language, I want to say thank you for a wonderful offering you gave years ago towards that project. And now as we work on a project for the Kannada language in South India, I'm glad to send that offering to First Bible as we raise that money to get that translated and printed in the very near future. Thank you so much for your participation in helping us to be able to get that done. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that is ours to be here today. Lord, you know that I'm extremely humbled to be in this pulpit that represents so much for the cause of Christ here and around the world. So, Father, I pray that you would open our eyes in your word to behold wondrous things. I pray you'd help us to hear the things you'd have us to hear during these next few moments. And help us to think your thoughts. And help us to see your sights. And, Father, as we do all those things, I pray that the soil of the hearts of every individual here will be tilled up. The ones that are entangled with a lot of the affairs of this world, I pray you would untangle those for a few moments. Maybe there's some hard and rocky soil here. I pray you'd soften it up. And Father, as we come to the invitation, I pray that we'd have very willing and obedient hearts to say yes as the Holy Spirit impresses upon our hearts the needs. Father, open our eyes to the world in a way perhaps that hasn't been done before. Cause us to pray more than we ever have before. Cause us to do more than we ever have. And we'll thank you for it and trust it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter number 15, if you go ahead and bring up the PowerPoint, I'd appreciate that very much. Starting right there in verse number 17, it says, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. You have a lot of things that's very easy for you to talk about. You have a lot of groups that's very easy for you to associate with. And you talk a lot about different things. You talk a lot about sports, or you talk a lot about gardening, or you talk a lot about fishing, or whatever that you might talk a lot about. And there's nothing wrong with talking about any of those things, but let's talk more about Jesus. Let's talk more about the one who gave his life a ransom for us. I have therefore whereof I may glory. That which we glory the most in ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. For I will dare not to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Wow, have we seen that evident this week. We have watched the power of the Spirit of God work in and through your lives on behalf of those who are needing the gospel here and around the world. We thank you so much for that. Notice the geography in verse number 19. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, in that entire geographical location, the Apostle Paul and all those that are working with the Apostle Paul make this next statement. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. What an incredible statement. Everyone in that geography, if they wanted to hear the gospel was available to them, much like it is here. You'll hear me say over the course of the next few moments, unreached people groups many times. We don't have unreached people groups here. We have unsaved people here. You might go out in your soul winning program and knock on a door and present the gospel to somebody that's the very first time they've ever heard it. It's not because it hasn't been available, it's just because they haven't heard it, right? We're referring to folks that it has never even been available to. Verse number 20 says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. That has been the goal of Dr. Charles Keene since 2003. How many of you know that name? Several of you do. He's been here and preached, I'm sure, a few times. How about Bearing Precious Seed? You know that ministry. Dr. Keene, along with three other men, nearly 40 years ago, started the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed, printing the Word of God for those who have the Word of God in their language all around the world. Millions and millions and millions of copies of scriptures have come off the presses of Bearing Precious Seed. Back in 2003, after 35 years of pastoring First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, when Dr. Keene realized that they've been printing scriptures for those who have scriptures, and that's not bad, it's just not enough. He resigned as pastor to start First Bible International, which gets the Bible translated into the heart language of those who have never had a Bible in their language before. You pray for Dr. Keene. He's doing really well as he continues to preach pretty much every week somewhere around the country for the glory of God. I'm sent out from Faith Baptist Church in Chelsea, Michigan. Adam Summers is our pastor. Appreciate you praying for him. And wonderful things are taking place right there. Please stop by our display table and all the display tables that are back there and get our prayer card. You say, how come every missionary that comes through says, get our prayer card? Because we really want you praying for us. Amen. Amen. It's not just a cliche. It's not just a statement. We absolutely need you praying for us. The confidence that I have right now as I stand before you of an email that I sent out yesterday to literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are praying right now for this service is wonderful. And to add this many people to that prayer band is just that much more powerful. Pray for us. Pray for every one of our missionaries on a very regular, intense way. We'd appreciate that very much. See the other things that are back there? Let me just clarify, because it's important that you know. Whenever you see CDs, people kind of wonder what those are. And Brother Byron Fox, Bible Truth Music, you're familiar with that, I'm sure. They're just children's CDs for kids to memorize the Bible to music. Wonderfully done. You can see those back there in the frames. My wife actually makes those Bible verses to be able to get up on the wall. Wonderful, and we appreciate that so much. And thank you on behalf of your desire to be a part of us, to be a part of supporting us, and we look forward to partnering with you, representing you around the country for the glory of God. You know Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, right? We're to go where, congregation? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. The uttermost are the people who have no church, the people who have no gospel presence, and the people who have no scripture whatsoever. We are referring to some 6,000 unreached people groups. That's nearly 3.2 billion people needing the Word of God in their language that's never had it before. We target three specific things. We target, number one, those who have no written language at all. It takes a linguist to go live amongst these people, turn the noise that they make into an alphabet into a primer, and teach them how to read. What good does it do to give them a book if they can't even read it? Amen? And then get them a gospel as quickly as we possibly can, a gospel of John and Romans, a New Testament, hopefully a whole Bible, and be able to see the churches planted where they've never been before. We target those people. And then we target those people who a translation has already been done and Bibles have already been distributed in those areas, but not very many. A lot of times when we do a print, it's usually 5,000. That's the economical number to be able to do. And a lot of folks have done this, and they distributed 5,000, and they went about to do it somewhere else. Well, praise the Lord for the 5,000, but if there's 4 million of them there, 5,000 is not going very far. So if we can get those copies, we'll reprint those and saturate those areas as much as we possibly can. And then the third area that we are after are those who have a Bible, but it's not what we would consider a reliable Bible. We only translate, obviously, King James. And if we can get those and correct it and get it back to them as quickly as possible, we want to be able to do that. We're referring to these people, those people. Many of these people live in what's called the 1040 window. If you're not familiar with it, that's it right there. The bottom line is a 10-degree line north of the equator. The top line is the 40-degree line north of the equator, from Africa all the way over to the islands. In that imaginary rectangular box, nearly half our world's population all live right there. We want to get the gospel to these unreached people groups just as quickly as we possibly can. For instance, if you were to total all the people groups up in Burkina Faso alone, there'd be 29 unreached people groups just right there. But many of these people groups are not just unreached. Many of them are unengaged. By unengaged, it's very similar to unreached, in that they have no church, they have no gospel presence, and they have no scripture. But what makes them unengaged is this. Church, I don't think we should see those letters in white in any church in the United States of America. Amen? As far as we know, these are places where there's no active effort in place at all to reach them with the gospel. In fact, let's go into India. India has the largest representation of unreached people groups in all of the world. A people group is a group of people who have their own form of politics, their own communication, and communication can move through their tribe completely unhindered. If there were 29 unreached people groups in Burkina Faso, India has more. Somebody help me. How many do you think would be in India? 500? 50? Let me help you. There's 2,274 unreached people groups just in India alone. You see, that's why I said in Sunday school, for those who are in there, we need to be very concerned about sending our missionaries to people, not just geographies. Amen? Geographies don't get saved, but people get saved. And we want missionaries to go into these pockets of people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. Get them a gospel presence. Get them a church to be able to worship in. And then just go over the ridge and down into this valley, and there'll be another several thousand people in this valley, very much the same, except they can't communicate with anybody else. They need a missionary that will work with them and get them the gospel. Praise the Lord for churches like you that help us to be able to get that very thing done. That's why we have a purpose at First Bible International that starts with scripture translation and Bible publishing. I have folks that will say to me occasionally, they'll say, "Preacher, we're very interested in church planting missionaries. How do you come along on that?" Well, we are all about planting churches. We're very involved in church planting. Here's the question. How do you plant a church where there's no Bible? And if you can give me an answer for that, which there might be one, how do you sustain that church with no Bible? Now you've got an issue. If we can get the Word of God to them, then we can work with the nationals. You see, church, it's been proven no country has ever been fully evangelized by an outside source. They will evangelize themselves from within. All they need are the tools necessary to be able to get the job done. You see, we in North America have this model for a missionary. That model is a young person surrenders to missions, they raise support, they go to the field, they knock on doors, they win people to Christ, they start a church, they turn it over to a national, and then they go do it somewhere else, right? Yep. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. What about where you can't do that? What about in the places where if you go stand on a street corner and stop preaching the gospel, you're probably going to get shot? What about those places? Do we just forget about those places? Did the Lord tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes or no, church? Would he have ever told us to go somewhere he knew we would not be able to get to? And then hold us responsible at the judgment seat of Christ because we didn't do it? That just doesn't make any sense at all. You see, it can be done in ways that far exceed our thought pattern of it. All they need are the tools to get it done. Anybody here been to the Grand Canyon? Several. Anybody been to the bottom? A few. I'm told if you want to go to the bottom, you can get there one of two ways. You can either walk. Probably not, preacher. Probably not going to do that. Or you can ride a donkey. Do you know if you get on one of those donkeys, before a human was ever allowed on the backs of one of those donkeys that take those people down that cavern trail to the very bottom, before they ever were allowed to have a person on its back, that donkey walked that path at least 35 times without a human. Do you know why? Because it's been proven that donkeys, when they walk the same path a repeated amount of times, will always walk that same path without fail, without the need of human assistance. And there are places in the Far East that have herds of donkeys. And they have trained those donkeys to walk across borders where there's no border control. And under the cover of darkness, those donkeys, with as many Bibles on their backs as they can possibly carry, will carry the Word of God into these dark, remote areas. Where under the cover of darkness, those people will come and get those Bibles off those donkeys' backs and put them in their makeshift canoes and float them down the river and get them to their people for the first time. All they need is somebody to get it to them. I'm not sure where the most difficult area in all the world is right now to preach the gospel. Maybe North Korea. Unbelievable what's going on there right now as we speak. But those in South Korea have a burden for those in North Korea. And I'm told that as we speak, they're very carefully disassembling their Bibles in South Korea, especially the portions with the gospel on it. And they're folding those up very carefully, and they're putting them in balloons and blowing those balloons up. And when the wind's blowing the right way, they let those balloons go. Can you imagine those balloons falling in the lap of someone for the first time? And reading, "For God so loved the world." Would you finish it with me? "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Can you imagine never reading that verse at all? But once they get the gospel, it changes everything. Then we can see the church is planted, and that process can repeat itself over and over and over again as the model is in the precious Word of God. And what's interesting is we have 4,000 missionaries from churches just like this to go get that job done, but where are they going? 85% of all of our missionaries today are in the same 15 different countries. Maybe that doesn't strike you until you realize there's 192 recognized by the United Nations. That only leaves 8% that's working in the 1040 window. How in the world have we let that happen? I take responsibility for that because I had the privilege of pastoring the last 25 years, and this has happened under our watch. And I had to come up with some type of a reason why this is happening and a conclusion as to how we can change it, or I wasn't going to be able to do what I'm doing today. How many of you heard of the 1040 window before today? Many. How about the 414 window? Let me see if I can help you. If you're between the ages of 4 and 14, and I know a lot of those are in super church right now, but if you're between 4 and 14, will you just come up here for just a moment? Come up here and stand right here on the steps with me. All of you, come on, quickly. You're taking up a lot of time. Between 4 and 14, come on up. Come. Amen. They'll come from all over the place. Good opportunity for a photo right here. Just come right on up. All between 4 and 14. Come. Come on. I see a lot of you that's saying, I'm not coming. Come on. Come on. I'm looking at you. Come on. I need you up here to help me. Okay? Good. They're coming. While they're coming, there's an interesting statistic out there. And that statistic I'm going to tell you in just a few moments, because what has happened is most missionaries, will you agree with me, decide where they're going to go based on what they see. So they'll be in a church like this. These young people will grow up in a church like this, and they will see all kinds of presentations, and all of a sudden one of those presentations will grip that heart, because the eye affects the heart. And they'll say, that's where I believe God wants me to go. They will talk to pastor. Pastor will agree. He'll help them raise their support. By the way, I'd love to have been sent out of this church. I'm thinking support gets raised pretty quick under that authority right there, and that's wonderful. They come out of this church, they raise the support, and they get to the field. Right? Based on what they see is where they decide where they're going to go. And with those numbers, what's the chances they'll ever even see a presentation to an unreached people group? Not much. But what happens if we could get churches like this here and all around the country? What would happen if all the Sunday school teachers, how many of you teach Sunday school? What would happen if all the Sunday school teachers started teaching this age group and all the kids over in Super Church about where is the unreached people groups? What are the 66 countries in the 1040 window? Who are these people? They grow up finding out and hearing about them. You have a prayer list that you use. Maybe on your prayer list, you put a different unreached people group every month or every week in that prayer list. In your beautiful display back there, maybe add a section on there, unreached people groups. Go to the joshuaproject.net, download a different people group profile every week, and put it on there. What happens? These kids grow up with that. They grow up hearing the preacher talk about unreached people groups. The Sunday school teacher teaches it to them. They see it on the display. Maybe they even pray about it at home because it's in the bulletin. And God reaches in and he grabs a hold of a young person. Let's say this one right here. You'll work. Amen? Amen? Good. What's your name?
Jesse.
Jesse, and how old are you? Please tell me you're not related to the preacher.
No.
Okay, good. I never know who I'm grabbing a hold of here, right? Amen. I'm still trying to raise support. Amen. Wonderful. And God greases and grabs him. Let me ask you a question. Jesse, right? If God should speak to your heart and say, Jesse, I want you to be a missionary, what would you say to God?
I'll do it.
Say that good and loud.
I'll do it.
Could you hear that? Amen. How old?
12.
You see, I'm safe a little bit at 12. Asking that question, most of them will say, yes, I'll absolutely do it. What if I asked you? What if you were up here and I asked you the same thing? I have a quote in my Bible. That quote says, everyone is not called to be a missionary, but everyone should struggle as to why not. So now it's not a matter of what he's going to do, it's a matter of where he's going to go. And he goes through that process to decide, but he grew up in this church. What are the chances that he'll at least pray about going to the unreached? Just because you let them know where they are and you're praying that God will send missionaries where they've never been before. You say, but why 414? Young people, what's that top number right there, that big? Approximately how many? 4,000. Of the 4,000 missionaries that are on the field today, there's a statistic that tells us 85% of them surrendered to missions between the ages of 4 and 14. The prime prospects for missions are right here. Not that they're not out here also, but more right here. If we'll just inform them, if we'll just pray, we can see missionaries going where they've not been going in our lifetime. We could see them going there in our lifetime. Amen? Thank you, young people. You can go back. While they're going back to their seats, let's say that verse up there aloud. Psalm 2:8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. On this screen, there's over 100 different countries. It's listed there. I'm not going to take the time to tell you what's in common with every one of them, but the Jehovah's Witnesses are there. And the Mormons are there. And McDonald's is there. Hey, I like a Big Mac, large fry, and Diet Coke as much as the next guy. But why do we order Big Mac, large fry, and Diet Coke? I don't know. Anyway. He took us by Daytona International Speedway just a few days ago. NASCAR fans in here? Probably a whole bunch of NASCAR fans that love sitting around a racetrack watching a whole bunch of guys and one lady averaging 150 plus miles an hour to be able to win a race, and they only know how to turn left. It's amazing. Why didn't they put, I'm told if you want to win a race, you better have a good pit crew. Do you agree with that? Why didn't they put the pits in the outfield instead of the infield? There's a lot more room out there. They could have got it done a whole lot better. Why? They'd have to turn right to get there. They'd never finish a race. But anyway, do you know that NASCAR is broadcast in 150 countries? If I don't have your attention yet, ladies, Avon has representatives in every one of those places. If we can teach them how to put on makeup, if we can introduce them to fast food and fast cars, should we not be able to get them a Bible in their language just as quickly as we possibly can? Absolutely. I believe, especially with our advanced travel, in our text, how'd they reach that whole geography in that text? Walking, boat, two-hump camel. Today, think about how our travel has advanced. Think about how our communications have advanced. Remember the phones? Remember the phone, stick your finger. Our cell phones today, the technology you have in your pocket far exceeds probably what any one of us have a clue what it would do. But even more than that, there's 12,000 churches just like this church in the United States of America. 6,000 unreached people groups. That's two churches for every group. If every two churches could just become responsible to get the gospel to one, we could see this thing done in our lifetime. Because these people are dying at unbelievable rates. Every second in our known world, four people are born and two people die. Every second. If we're already behind by half of a world's population, we're getting behind at unbelievable numbers every day. And it's an emergency situation. Normal rules of the road are not going to get this done. We've got to be willing to pray more than we've ever prayed before. We have to be willing to give more than we've ever given before. We have to be willing to go where we've never gone before to get this job done. And we believe the answer is found in the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. What's a lamp do when you turn a lamp on? It glows the area right around where you're standing. You know what a lamp basically does? A lamp basically tells you where you are right now. And these people have no idea where they are in their lost condition without Christ. They have no idea sin separates them from a holy God. But once they get the Word of God, that changes everything. Not only is it a lamp, it's also a light. What's the difference in a lamp and a light? Lamp shows you where you are. What's a light do? Shows you where you're going. How many of you know where you're going? 10 of you. Wow. You got a tremendous mission field. How many of you know where you're going? Praise the Lord. I know where I'm going. 43 years ago, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, on that day, I sat in the very top bleacher of a citywide crusade. The preacher preached, and I walked down that aisle, and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And on that day, right then, my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's still there today, and it will always be there. Amen. On that day, I was sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God, according to Ephesians. On that day, a mansion is prepared for me in glory. I'm so sure that mansion is there. I believe it's on the corner of Glory Boulevard and Hallelujah Lane. And I absolutely can't wait to get to that place. Amen. Why in the world do I know that? Why do I know that? I read it in the precious Word of God. It changes everything. You see, with this model, not only are you sending missionaries out worldwide, but every one of you become a missionary. Because the greatest missionary we can ever send, perhaps, is the Bible in the mother tongue. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, where 99% of our mission money is used to reach those areas. But that's not the end of the verse, is it? And unto where, church? The uttermost. And who have we learned the uttermost people are? The unreached people groups. We're less than 1%. Less than 1% of our mission money is used to reach them. In our text, in verse number 30, it says that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That phrase, strive together with me, carries the idea, we can't do this alone. My wife and I, the best that we possibly can, have given the rest of our lives to get to as many places as we possibly can to make them aware of the needs of the unreached. Because once they become aware, then they'll sense a responsibility to do something about it. We need churches like you to partner with us all over the United States to help us to get this job done. Will you help us get someone their very first Bible? Let's pray together, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you just two questions, and then I'll turn the invitation over to preacher and he can deal with the invitation as he believes the Lord leads. Question number one. Do you have a Bible reason to know that you're going to heaven? Can you prove from the Word of God that heaven is your eternal home? If you can't prove that from the Scriptures, what a wonderful day to be saved. Isn't it incredible that you heard again today that Jesus loves you and that He died for you, and if you'll receive Him as Savior, He'll save you. You heard that again today. And half the world has never heard that one time. I wonder if there'd be somebody here that would say, I need to be saved. I need to get this thing settled. I would like somebody to show me from the Word of God how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. If that's true in your life, would you just slip your hand up just for a moment that I might see it? We'll have somebody help you. I would love to have somebody help me, show me how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. I see one hand to my left. I'm looking in the middle sections. And to my right. Anybody else? I'd like to have somebody show me how I can know for sure. Ma'am, did you mean business? Would you like somebody to show you for sure how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? If that's true, would you just look right up here at me? Did you mean that? God bless your heart. Hope somebody will help you just as soon as possible to receive Christ as your Savior. Come during this invitation. Let somebody help you. Question number two. We believe prayer absolutely makes a difference. If we can get people praying all over the country, we believe we can see a difference to this need in our lifetime. If you would take the challenge, we have a prayer guide that will help you to pray through the top 100 unreached people groups in 1 month. Professionals tell us to form a habit, you need to do the same thing at least 21 times in a row. If we can get you praying for a month, many of you will pray for the unreached for the rest of your lives. I wonder how many of you would say, I want one of those prayer guides. As the Lord will enable me, I will pray through that prayer calendar, trusting God for great and mighty things above which I could imagine or think. As the Lord enables me, I want one of those prayer calendars. I will pray through that prayer calendar. If that's true, would you just stand with me all over this building, please? I want one of those prayer calendars. I will make a commitment today to pray through that prayer calendar as the Lord enables me. Let's just stand together and we'll pray together. God bless your hearts. As people are standing all over this room, as the instrument begins to softly play, let me ask many of you to take that to another level. Would you come and let's start praying for them right now? Right now, would you come to this altar and let's start praying for them together? Come on, right now. Come on, right now, all over this building. Let's start praying for them together right now. God bless your hearts. God bless your hearts. Heavenly Father, as folks are coming from all over this building right now to pray for the needs of the unreached to the uttermost, Lord, as they take these prayer calendars and as they see names that they're not even going to be able to pronounce in places they never knew existed, help them to know that you know their name and you know where they live every bit as much as you know us and where we live. And you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Father, we pray that quickly a gospel will become available to them, a preacher will go to them, reach them for the cause of Christ. Lord, as we think about what you did in your word with 12, what could you do with this many here in this Jerusalem and around the world? Lord, would you bless it? Please. In Jesus' name, preacher.
Father, we do pray right now for people who have never heard, never seen a Bible, much less have one in our own language. Father, I pray that our hearts will be moved toward this great cause. And Lord, it's good to see the possibility of meeting that need, at least having some impact for your glory in those areas. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're here at the front and you'd like to go back to your seat, you may do that. If there's anyone else here that needs to come, if you'd like to come, have someone show you how to trust Christ as your Savior, would you come right now? We'll wait just a moment. We'll wait just a moment as the instruments play. We wait just a moment. Will you come? Maybe someone needs to come and join in fellowship with this church. We wait just a moment. Come right now as they play this verse. As they play this verse. Sing it as they play, if you would.
Wait, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the part. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
While I'm waiting, yielded and still. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I tell you what, let's leave our heads bowed and our eyes closed just a moment, if you will. You can open your eyes if you need to and look at that little card you have there. My weekly commitment for Faith Promise Mission Giving at Volusia County Baptist Church. I filled mine in. I want you to do that right now. It won't take a long time. It won't take a long time. This is weekly. Then we'll multiply that out. 52 weeks. We'll multiply that out. As soon as you do that, I want you to pass it to the aisle. And as you pass it to the aisle, the ushers are going to come down. Either aisle, doesn't make any difference which way you pass it. Just whenever you do that, pass it to the aisle. Nobody's going to look at it. Nobody's name's on it. Wouldn't know who it was if they did see it. And so if you would do that, I'm going to ask you to do that right now. And ushers, if you will, just walk back and forth up and down the aisle a little bit and let the cards be collected. Keep the big part of the card. Take that home with you. If you want to write in there the number that you can take before the Lord that you've committed yourself to, that would be great, that the Lord has laid on your heart. Okay, just pass it to the aisle, either way, doesn't make any difference. They're coming down. I don't think we have anybody. Yeah, we do have somebody on the outside wall, but pass it toward the middle, if you will. Okay, look up this way. And if you have some at the aisle, if you have some, raise it up and wave it so that if some have been passed to you, okay, so that they can pick those up. And if you will, gentlemen, very quickly, let's get this evaluated very quickly. All right, some of you have a quick hand on a keyboard. So that's good. That's good. And there's others here on the property who will turn theirs in tonight, and others who are not here today that will turn theirs in next Sunday. I hope you'll be right in place tonight. Tonight we finish up with a couple of testimonies from the ladies you did not meet today who are over in Super Church. They'll be in here tonight, and Brother Matt Prine will be preaching tonight, and I hope that you'll be back for the closing service of our missions conference this year. I still have mine here. Okay. Don't be looking at my commitment now. Okay. Okay. Brother Morelli is at the back, and I don't know the best way to do this, Brother Mar. Okay, we're going to have these prayer calendars with unreached people groups. I don't know whether I could say enjoy the presentation or not, because the message this morning moved my heart. First of all, with the need, my heart was moved. And yet to break that thing down, to you think about, you know, I don't really know what it means to reach an unreached people group. I don't know what it means to do that. I don't know if it means putting boots on the ground, having a Bible in their language. I don't know all that that means. And I don't know all that means money-wise. But, you know, I was thinking that we might find somebody to join with us. If there's two churches take a group, we might find another church to join with us, and we'd bug each other about it and keep each other moving toward that. Brother Morelli, you were down here at the front, your microphone's still on. And if you would, tell us what it means to reach an unreached people.
What that means, it can be several fold. Number one, it starts just the way that you folks have already done, by getting involved in projects that are already in place. And the reason for that is because you see a quick return for your investment. In other words, you folks invested, I believe it was $10,000 a few years ago for the Mongolian project. You'll see that completed this year. You've just invested $5,000 in the Kanata. You'll see that completed probably within a year. So that's number one, being involved in what we're doing. And then while you're doing that, pray about a people group that the Lord will lay on your heart specifically, to where you actually send pastor or a team from your church, along with a couple of First Bible representatives, goes over to that country, does a survey to find out what has to take place in order to get that done for them, come back with all the information that needs to be done, and start raising the funds to be able to get that translation done, hook you up with a linguist and a translator to be able to get it translated, and then when it's finished, you folks actually send a team over to hand distribute those Bibles and to do a dedication of those. Can you imagine hand delivering someone a Bible for the very first time? And you are the one responsible to be able to get it done. That's incredible, amen? And then we want to stay with those people, work with the nationals, and see the churches started. We have a couple of churches right now that's praying about a 15-year commitment to where they're going to be given on a regular basis to reach a people group all the way to the point of having a local church in the area. One of them wants to stay with that people group until that church is turned over to a national pastor. So there's all kinds of levels of commitment by way of being able to get it done.
Okay, there are a number of groups with this burden. We know that.
Absolutely.
Because if you had right now, 4,000, 8,000 churches that said we're growing together with another church, and we're 4,000,
yes, people, sir.
You can't handle 4,000 groups right now, can you?
No, sir.
Okay.
No.
But we could get that done.
Right.
We could get that done. We've tried to impact some particular areas. Our missions giving is around the world. If you look at the kiosk at the back and scroll through that, you'll see our mission giving is around the world. I'm trying to think, you know, I was trying to think as you're going through about our 85%, 15%, mm-hmm. about where we are in those groups. And I know some of the major countries where missionaries go. I know where there are a lot of missionaries, a lot of people minister in particular areas. And that's not bad. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people in this country.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of churches in this mm-hmm. country. But, you know, if we could find a place, you know, that would really be something, wouldn't it? If one church could join together with, and two churches could impact a people somewhere, what would be the smallest unreached people group?
Well, there's unreached people groups with less than 2,000.
Now, see, that's a small group. Mm-hmm. But we do not despise the day of small things. The Word of God says. What would be the largest unreached people group?
I believe it's at least 12 million and maybe more. Somebody have one of those prayer guides? The ten, those are the largest by population. If you look on, somebody look at the largest number on there? 52 million? 122 million?
Where is that?
Japan.
In Japan. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's what's before us. That's the job.
Amen.
We'll figure it out.
A lot of times that burden is represented right inside the church. It happens because somebody here knows somebody from another country, and they have a loved one over there, and they have a burden for them. Sometimes it happens militarily. A lot of revivals have happened because of military, right? So if someone in the church was over there in military, they want to go back, happens that way. Sometimes it's college campuses. You have the world right here at your doorstep, right here. If we can win them right here in our college campuses, train them here and send them back, we've just advanced the process by years. So a lot of opportunities right here.
I've thought a lot about this thing that we're dealing with immigrants from Syria. So forth like that. There's nothing we can really do that's going to happen to us, like it or not. Mm-hmm. Be in favor of it or not be in favor of it. Whatever attitude we have toward it is not going to change the fact that those people are here. They're here and they're coming in great numbers. Would God take something like that and turn it around and send people to this country to hear the gospel? I read last night again in the book of Genesis what Joseph said to his brethren. You meant it for evil, but God brought good out of it. And we can either fight the darkness or we can light a candle.
Amen.
One or the other. And so this is what's before us. And it's not an undoable task. Now, okay, let's see what we got. This year, the weekly amount is $4,085.75. That multiplies out times 52 to $212,459. Our mission's commitment as of right now, if we take on these five missionaries, and with that kind of a commitment, I think we ought to do it, don't you? All those in favor of taking on these five missionaries who have been with us this week, you say, well, I haven't seen them. Well, you ought to have been here then. You say, all in favor of taking these on, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any opposed? Okay. Our weekly commitment right now is with these missionaries is around $150,000, something like that. So, yearly. Yeah, our yearly commitment is $150,000 of $212,000, and this will go up. And I know some of y'all didn't turn one in. And I know you're going to do that, and it's not in this number. You just got this little thing about putting a number on a card and putting it in the plate. I know that. I understand that. That's all right. That's okay. We could do something. So be ready. Hang on to your hats, but don't hang on to your wallet. Well, that's a good day. I do hope you'll come back tonight. One of these days I'm going to challenge you to something. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. We're going to put it somewhere on down the road, maybe in the spring, in March or sometime. But I'm going to challenge everybody to come to every service for 4 weeks. For 4 weeks, everybody comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night. You say, I'm going to have to work that out. I'm going to have to plan on that. I'm going to challenge you to do that. Sometime in March. 4 weeks, everybody come, every service. I read some things that I think would just, I think it would change your life for Jesus Christ. If you just show up. Just show up. Well, you've showed up a while today. God bless you. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for a wonderful faith promise. For the promise. Now, Lord, you'll be faithful to your promise. I do not doubt that a bit. And I don't doubt your people, Lord. I have no doubt that our giving in this year will go over $212,000. I don't doubt that. But, Lord, I pray that you'll guide us in this matter that Brother Morelli has been used of you to lay on my heart, and I think on the heart of many people here in our congregation. And, Father, may we be about that very quickly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hope you'll be back tonight.